This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
The action continues to the win, or at least the apparent win, of the Liberal Party of Canada forming what is likely to be a new minority government in Ottawa. Among those groups weighing in, Progressive Contractors Association of Canada, whose member companies actually build major capital and infrastructure projects across Canada, congratulating, it says here, Mark Carney and the Liberal Party of Canada on their federal election win, saying, among other things, that the goal of making Canada an energy superpower will require a different approach, starting with clear objective approvals processes for getting projects of national interest built without any more lengthy delays. Here to talk more about this, we're joined by Paul DeYoung, President and CEO of the Progressive Contractors Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Adam.
Talk about the promise of making Canada an energy superpower and how feasible that is, at least in your view, given the current regulatory framework we have.
Well, yeah, Canada has for a long time been in the position of being that energy superpower. We have internationally leading resources in oil and gas, in agricultural goods, critical minerals. The challenge for many years has been that our regulatory framework has been very difficult for project owners and proponents to navigate. And the industry doesn't mind having those regulations. The problem is the political question that hangs at the end of it, the uncertainty that comes with the approvals process. And so we receive with some appreciation Carney's pledge to kind of double down on that superpower aspect, but we are concerned that his remarks about cleaning up the regulatory system don't really match his seeming refusal or unwillingness to revisit things like the Impact Assessment Act, which has been so difficult for our industry to navigate.
I was going to ask about that and whether or not your organization has a position on the prospect of a minority government. For example, if the Liberals are beholden to, say, the remaining seven or so NDP MPs to pass matters of confidence, or the Bloc Québécois MPs, and Yves-François Blanchet has been clear in the past in terms of his opposition to building projects of national importance like pipelines through Quebec. Any thoughts on what we might see due to the political dynamics of a minority?
Well, we are a nonpartisan employer association, and so we're prepared to work with whichever majority or minority government comes into place. The concern that we would have is that the degree to which Prime Minister Carney did say some things that were, at least on the face of it, encouraging, might be come into some tension as he makes these alliances with either the NDP and or the Bloc. Because they perhaps may not have alignment on those objectives that Prime Minister Carney may have stated. And so a minority government casts into further confusion and uncertainty the very goals that we would like to work with the government on.
During the campaign I'm reading here, you say that, or your organization says, Carney confirmed that he has no plans to change Bill C-69. Since its passage, it says here, this legislation has led to the delay or cancellation of more than 25 major resource and infrastructure projects. Why do you take that position, that this legislation specifically has led to those delays and cancellations?
Well, the legislation has euphemistically been referred to as the No More Pipelines Act, and while some people may applaud that nature, the reality is that Canada does have a very large network of economic arteries that we call pipelines. We simply are a nation that has a history and a future of developing and distributing natural gas and oil. The key, of course, is to doing that in an environmentally sound way. And it is appropriate for the Impact Assessment Act to ensure that these projects attend properly to the care of communities and the environmental stewardship that we are called to do. But the problem is the length of time and the uncertainty. In other jurisdictions like the U.S., regulatory passage of major projects like this is a fraction of the time in Canada. So if you are a financier or a project owner who wishes to look at a project in Canada, it just looks like it is too uncertain. And so the problem is flight of investment capital from Canada. And that's our concern. We want to build things as contractors. We think we can do it well. We do it in a safe manner. And we do it with many tens of thousands of skilled workers who now have job opportunities cast into uncertainty because of these political questions that are being raised.
I'm reading here that your member companies are responsible for, is it 40% of energy and natural resource construction projects in Western Canada?
Yeah, that's a conservative estimate. Our members are probably well over 50% in the oil sands and petrochemical sector, heavily involved in the LNG sector. Our members built most of the TransCanada and Coastal GasLink pipeline projects, as well as infrastructure projects like hospitals and schools and water treatment plants. We're the biggest builders in our membership in Canada.
The delay or abandonment, it says here, of these natural resource projects has cost Canadians billions of dollars in investment and potential jobs. Is it really that high?
Yes. There's obviously complicated reasons to attach to this that go beyond just the regulatory framework in Canada. But you look at projects like Energy East and the Northern Gateway project, the Keystone project. Those were all canceled for a large part because of the difficulty in navigating these waters in Canada. And so it's not hyperbole to suggest that it's tens of billions of dollars that have left Canada to go to other jurisdictions that, frankly, don't have the same rigor that we have when it comes to environmental care and community engagement, including what to me should be heralded on the top of the list is very, very good relationships with our Indigenous people. We employ Indigenous people. We have joint ventures. We have entire equity involvement in companies with Indigenous groups. Canada should be leading the charge, and frankly, we're concerned that we're going to be falling behind with this uncertainty.
It says here that your organization will work with the new Liberal government to bring about what are characterized here as fair labor policies that treat all contractors and workers equally based on merit and experience rather than affiliation with legacy unions. What does that mean?
So the prior administration under Prime Minister Trudeau enacted something called the Investment Tax Credit, which on the face of it and the function was actually very helpful to stimulate investment in the so-called green energy or renewable energy sector. So we welcomed that approach. However, the tax credits came with a caveat. In order to receive the full tax credit, a project owner had to pay the workers according to a static set of wages and benefits. And nobody's arguing that the workers shouldn't get paid well, but the market does a very good job with various unions. There's a plurality of unions in the marketplace, non-union companies who vigorously try to get lean in their project management approach to get the best foot forward in order to land that investment. When you have a static wage and benefit scheme, it takes away the incentive to get really innovative with how you structure the work itself and bargain with the unions and the workers to get the right result for costing.
Uncertainty, the order of the day, as we look forward to some sort of arrangement the new Liberal government might be able to arrange in the Parliament of Canada, as the final count has yet to be finalized. Meanwhile, Paul DeYoung is president and CEO of Progressive Contractors Association. Those members stand ready to be part of an effort to turn Canada into a global energy superpower. However, further regulatory change will be needed. Anything else you'd like to leave with us at this time?
Well, you said it well. We're ready to build. We have a campaign called Let's Get Building, which is a motivation to Canada writ large, but our politicians in particular, to get behind building Canada's major capital and infrastructure projects. We're ready to build. We just need to see some changes to the regulatory system so that we can move forward.
Paul DeYoung, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Adam.